Who's ready to put pads on? Tone, good morning.
Hey.
They're going on today. They're going on today.
Yeah, there we go.
Time to run into each other. Even though the quarterback competition's probably already over.
Does seem like it, right?
Four-man competition's already over, Tone.
It seems like kind of crashed and burned for Kenny Pickett.
And well, not to his own doing.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah, just this is...
According to Adam Schefter, not Adarn Schefter, Browns quarterback Kenny Pickett injured his hamstring near the end of Saturday's practice. He's expected to reevaluate the injury later this week, per sources. Pickett was coming off a strong couple of practices, per sources. And at least for the short term, there now will be more reps for Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, which, it's inopportune time for him because he could, depending on, you know, how careful they're going to want to be with this. He might want to be with it. He might not want to be careful with it. But all eyes kind of focus on what the joint practices. And if he can't really go for the joint practices, that's it. He can't win the quarterback.
So I think the quarterback competition is probably solved. And I think, and don't take this the wrong way, this could be best for all parties involved. It could be best for him, and I mean that with Kenny Pickett, and it could be best for Browns fans, it could be best for the Browns, all parties involved. Because now, instead of Kenny Pickett, if Kenny can't go, then you go, okay, we're just going to do the common sense thing, we're going to give the job to start the season off to the 40-year-old veteran, he'll be able to play complimentary football, he'll be able to put us in a position where if there's a tight game, we could possibly win that football game. A guy who knows what he's doing, because we don't know what the running back room is going to really look like, because now you got this big whole issue that's going on. We heard Andrew Berry talk about that last week. There is a chance just to kind of settle down the boat and to get things going. Because if Kenny were to start the season and Kenny were to be rough, then I think that you'd have pitchforks, you'd have torches, you'd have a lot of people out there. I mean, they're going to be coming for you already, okay? I'm trying to stave off craziness. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stave off nut job stuff. Like, we'll have these Orlovsky clips coming up at 6:20. I don't know what the guy's trying to tell Nick and Jonathan in the afternoon. I thought that was kind of bizarre, but we'll play that coming up at 6:20, and I'll let you decide for it, right? This was last week. But when I see that Kenny Pickett got hurt, I don't want anybody to get hurt. I wanted him to get a fair shot if he's going to have a fair shot at it, because he is one of the two veterans there. I didn't want to force the hand with Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. I think I've been very clear about that. I would have went with the guy that the guys already had trusted, they had already had experience before with, and Joe Flacco. And I think that the fan base would probably be in a lot of ways the same way. Now, Joe Flacco could go out there and suck up the room really badly, and then people are going to be wanting a different quarterback out there. But I didn't want it to start off the season with anybody else, because it's, again, I think it calms down the veterans' tone. I think it certainly calms down the fan base a little bit, where you have this guy that people know. Why wouldn't you put the guy out to start off the season that people know to try to get off in the best footing in a tough part of your schedule?
Yeah, I just think the biggest focus here is that they were wasting time trying to figure out, and it was going to be an impossible evaluation process to go in with four quarterbacks. That was a bad process.
Yeah.
And just by virtue of, unfortunately for Kenny Pickett, and we apologize to his family members that have been dialed into our show and tweeting and blocking certain listeners of the show and fans.
I didn't want to get hurt. Good God.
Yeah, nobody. We wanted somebody to emerge. We didn't want anybody to necessarily win jobs because of injuries, but there's no way I could see them starting Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders week one.
But if
that was just never going to happen. So it was only going to be Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco, and now Kenny Pickett can't take part in this process. He's going to miss at least, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks?
Probably, yeah.
Right. And that's just at least. So there's no way he can be a part of the joint practices in those scenarios. And if he's not going to be a part of those where everything is live, guys are wearing, you know, full pads, there's tackling, there's sacking, there's coming after the quarterback, this is over. Joe Flacco is your starting quarterback week one against the Cincinnati Bengals, and now the competition is between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
Well, how bad, because if it's that bad, you could put him on short-term IR, if it's that bad. Like, if he's, again, because you're trying to get four guys who are the quarterbacks on the roster, because everybody can see a scenario. Now people are starting to see a scenario where, hey, you could put four quarterbacks on the roster, which, I don't know, you and I have been saying that there's definitely a possibility about that since when? Since the draft, since they drafted the other two guys. So there's certainly a possibility there. But now you go into the season, okay, if Kenny is that injured, I don't need to rush anything with Kenny Pickett. We don't need to rush anything, right? No. Because Dylan Gabriel, from everything that they're saying, from the, what was the quote, from the shoulders up, he's a first overall pick.
Kenny Pickett's not good enough to be rushing him back to, like, save a season.
Exactly, but you don't want to put him in a bad spot. I mean, you're talking about trying to save a career, let alone save a season, when it comes to Kenny Pickett. So you have a guy here who, I don't want to rush anything. So how I would do it right now is I would take Joe Flacco, Joe's the starter. Then I would look at what Kenny Pickett is, and if Kenny Pickett is still hurt, do not rush this thing back. We ain't getting rid of you. We traded for you. There's no reason to get rid of you. I don't think your job's in any question. If there's anything to do, it would be on short-term IR, and we'll see you at the end of the first month of the season. That's where I would put it at. So then it becomes a Joe Flacco, 6'6", big, not lumbering guy. He's a little bit more athletic than we give him credit for, but he's 40 years old, for crying out loud. You go from him to probably Dylan Gabriel. And they say Dylan's smart. Dylan's got all the intangibles of what you would want to know with an offense. It's just he's 5'10". So that you go from 6'6 to 5'10", different set of skills. Could you really do that? Shador, you get a little bit more time to get this thing figured out, and that's where you go. And if Kenny comes back before the start of the season, you still put him in as a backup and you carry four quarterbacks. If Kenny is still hurt, because it's a hamstring, so we'll see how long that takes to actually get fixed. If Kenny's still hurt and you want a guy like that because he has wheels, so you want him to be at full strength. If Kenny comes back and he's still touchy on the hamstring, hey, just give it time. I got time with Kenny because I don't want to put him out there if he's not able to defend himself and he's not able to conduct the offense the right way because he's still nursing an injury. So I don't know the severity of the injury. We'll find out, I'm sure, more today. But it clears a lot of things up. In an unfortunate way, it clears a lot of things up. But then I have my succession plan right after Joe. I give the job to Joe, and then I see where it is from any. Unless people can give me an argument on Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, week one.
Well, and I'm sure there are people who would be trying to give us an argument because I saw it on social media. I mean, what? Shador Sanders had a couple of really nice throws on Saturday, last time they were together. He's going up against the threes and the fours, you know?
Stat charting that's went on over the last few days of completions and attempts and all that has become a new level of Browns training camp that I don't think we've ever seen before.
Yeah. Now I wonder what percentage of fans are truly putting stock into that, or they're using them as kind of, all right, this is kind of funny that we're doing this at all.
None of the stats say which group of defense they're going against. And sometimes it's against air.
Yeah. And I watched some of these reps with Shador. Like, if Myles Garrett was on the field, the play would have been over already. Like, right. that's just a reality. Like, it's very different going up against the starters than it is. With that said, Shador Sanders, those are the best passes I saw. Yeah. And the people that were at camp, you know, watching this religiously, they're like, oh, yeah, he had the nicest throws. Do you think anybody is seriously, like, not, hey, I'm a fan, and Shador obviously is, you know, this exciting story.
Yeah.
I don't think it's nearly the story of training camp. Like, people were trying, like, Where's the national media even been? Have they even been really following the Browns?
It's going to be, they'll be in town this week. So we will find out. The Shador Sanders business is about to pick up.
I do think it's been proven that was grossly overrated. Shador Sanders is not the story. He's not a circus. He's not a distraction. He's also not a story.
Well, when teams weren't practicing.
He's four straight.
Well, when teams weren't practicing, then he was one of the bigger conversation pieces because of what had happened during the offseason.
Or rookie minicamp. Yeah.
But now that teams are practicing around the NFL, they're going around the tour.
I'm not really seeing much in the way of...
I think by Friday you might change your mind because the media is going to be in town, Hall of Fame weekend, all the other stuff. That means that all the national people are going to be in town. They're going to be in town to see number 12. I mean, they'll talk a little bit to Joe Flacco and Myles Garrett and maybe a little bit of Denzel, even though Denzel is not the most boisterous person in the world. Maybe a couple of other people, but they're in town to see the Hall of Famers and they're in town to see Shador Sanders. So I don't know if I want to subscribe to that just now, that he's not a big story. If he's going out there, because I'll tell you
what. Well, do you think it'll be a big story when they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, Kenny Pickett's injured, but in reality, Shador's four string. Do you think that will be...
Honestly,
is that a story people care about all that much?
I think by the end of the week, It's on Shador. If they go out there and he throws the way I heard of him throwing this last week.
Week or day?
Week.
Okay,
I'll say week.
We only saw
a couple of days, week, fine. So if he goes and he throws like he did last week, day, whatever. If he throws like that, I think a lot of people are going to be here, and they look at it from 30,000 feet.
Even if it's against threes and fours, not Myles Garrett, not going up against.
I mean, again, you got football people that you trust going, why are you wasting your time with these old guys? What are you doing wasting your time with them?
Sure.
Put the rookies in there.
We've asked that question before.
If they see Shador Sanders, they're going to look at that. I guarantee you that somebody's going to come away. This probably won't pay off till next Monday. Somebody with a name will come away with this. If he throws well, somebody will come away from camp, their time at Browns camp, going, he looked good. He was supposed to be a first-round pick to a lot of people. He fell all the way to the fifth-round pick. Maybe he got a steal. You guys ain't going anywhere anyway. What's the point? You might as well play Shador Sanders. If he throws as well as what he was throwing last week, yeah, somebody's going to do it. So I'm going to disagree with you, because I want to let the national media come in.
So you want
and
them.
See
you
what
want
they say.
Them. It sounds like Ken Carman. Ken Carman is more excited by the notion of the Emmanuel Achos of the world coming in and saying,
I don't know
the
if
fact
he has
that the Browns are not
right now,
starting
buddy.
Shador Sanders.
I don't know if he's coming to town.
That gives him more free time to come to Browns camp. Are you kidding me? So, because I don't think Fox Sports is going to be, you know, setting out a
still
encampment
got six
here.
Six open dates.
So I do think it sounds like there's an excitement in your voice that
why?
Maybe the national
no.
media can create
there's,
a stir over this.
There's not. Why do you do this? I've been back for we've been back for 15 minutes, and now you're doing this. If I was saying I was excited about it, I was saying I was excited.
So you think
about
it would come as a detriment if they did that?
No, I don't think it's
so
a detriment.
What is the Ken Carman opinion on whether or not the national story of Shador Sanders?
You said it wasn't going to be a big deal, and I said no, wait until the end of the week. I think some people are going to make it a big damn deal.
So I misread it. You didn't really care either way if it was a big deal. I'm just trying to make sure I've got Ken Carman right
what
here.
What do you mean? What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm just trying to get the opinion out of Ken Carman on whether or not the Shador mania is A, going to happen, and B, whether it serves them well or hurts
them. I don't know
them.
If it's going to happen. I said okay. I could see it. Did I or did I not? Owen said I could see a scenario where at the end of the week, you have national media in town, and they see Shador throw any bit like he did last week, and they go, well, this is, what are you guys doing wasting your time with all these other guys?
I stopped listening once your face got so red.
Well, because he's putting words in my mouth already.
No, you did say this might not pay off until next week, until next Monday.
Yes.
Believe me, I've got it right here. I'm ready. I'm marked and ready to go. It might not pay off until next Monday once everybody rolls through.
Do you really not believe that the writers and the pundits and people who come to town this week,
I think the grifters are going to make an argument always, because I've seen it already.
What if Baldy comes to town
and
says
those, well, okay.
What if Baldy
right.
Make a media list of the people listen to say that he should be the starter and see whether or not it's
legitimate. So like Jeremy Fowler, right? He's not a big opinion giver. He's just a reporter. But if Jeremy Fowler comes into town and does all his hits on SportsCenter and then goes on and helps out the First Take crew or whatever, I don't even know who's in position anymore. There's been so much of a shakeup on all the networks. But if Jeremy Fowler comes in and says, I talked to the Browns this week, I talked to some players in that locker room, and they want Shador to be given a legitimate shot. Okay, that changes it. I'm not really hearing much of that right now. I'm hearing Shador on one of the worst teams in football is fourth string and made some nice throws the other day. That's all I'm really, against threes and fours. That's all I've really seen so far. So it has been a far cry from Mike Greenberg a month ago saying, Shador Sanders in Cleveland's the biggest story of the offseason.
Call Mike Greenberg
a grifter. It has been so far from, it hasn't even been one of the biggest stories in Brown's camp. He's been fourth string.
Call him Mike Greenberg a grifter.
No, that's the thing. He's not, but
I need a list of grifters by the end of the week here from you.
I do think some people were trying to stir up some stuff a month ago when it was a dead season in the NFL. And it has. It's been one of the deadest off seasons I can remember.
Absolutely true. I mean, if you're going to put me on the spot, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want a grifter list by Wednesday.
The grifter list.
Yes. I think at 7:45, we're going to play grifter or gold miner.
216.
We'll list them off.
Dan Orlovsky was on with the Afternoon Boys. It doesn't roll the same when he calls us the Morning Boys. He was on with the guys in the afternoon drive. I think Dan Orlovsky's such a nice guy, he don't want to tell anybody bad news. Because I got two clips to play, and I'm going to get to these calls about the competition and whether or not it's already over. and whether or not Shador is going to be a big story by the end of the week. Lima says no. I say absolutely yes. I think he's going to be a big NFL story by the end of if he practices well, I think it's going to be a big damn conversation. However, Dan Orlovsky, who I think is such a nice guy, he don't want to tell anybody anything bad. Here's Dan on Afternoon Drive. He says, take the over on the wins. Is that correct, Owen? He says, take the over.
I would take the over on that. I understand the division is very difficult, but I think there's two things. The coach and the general manager know they need to win, you know, and that's something that paranoia, that urgency, that just refines a focus level and it builds that whatever it takes necessary mindset. I think the second thing is Joe is there, along with a roster that still has a decent amount of some talent, certainly young talent. I would take the over.
Okay, says take the over, but then he says you got to play the rooks.
And both of them would be the rookies. I would be doing everything if I was Cleveland to see if one of those two kids I drafted could be a starter this year. And then you have the opportunity to evaluate, is he a starting quarterback or is he not a starting quarterback? Is he a starting quarterback that we can win games with? Because then that maybe changes the way you view those two first-round picks for next year.
So you're trying to figure out what you're going to do for next year's draft, and we got to figure out what we have because, let's be honest, as of right now, they are day two and day three rookies. So we should let the day two and day three rookies play but also take the over on the wins. It doesn't add up.
Unless Shador, Dylan Gabriel, or Jaden Daniels, right?
Unless they are that way, which I don't think anybody would put that on them right now. I don't, you know, Jaden Daniels was still, you know, people compare the fans of the rookies compare them to Jaden Daniels. I go, Jaden Daniels was a top five pick. He was number two overall, for Christ's sake. What are we doing making this comparison? It'd be great if he ends up that way, if Shador or Dylan were end up that way, but let's not put carts before horses here. One of these players is not like the others. Jaden Daniels was up here.
Well, there was a
these
time.
These guys were down there.
There was a time we were being misled to believe that Shador Sanders was a number two overall pick, potential.
And honestly, there was a time where people thought that Jaden Daniels was just an also-ran in garbage, just like his Arizona State teammates thought he was when he had left them to go to LSU. Remember those videos that were made there? So things can change, certainly. But when you're saying that, yeah, take the over on wins, man, you got to see what these rookies are because you got these. He's such a nice guy. I think he doesn't want to tell anybody any bad news. Like somebody's going to have the number one pick, and we're going to find out pretty quickly what we're playing for. We will find out because it to me, if Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders starts the season, I'm nervous for them. I'm nervous for those in charge who put them there. And I think that the season is exactly what a lot of people are saying it's going to be. Not that you guys are wrong. I'm just trying to look at this going, well, you're trying to win some football games. Are you not? Are they safe no matter what, the people in charge, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski? Because I don't think you can guarantee anything. So there's so much that's unclear that the Kenny Pickett injury clarified a few things where it's like, okay, you just start the veteran there. You don't just throw these kids out to the Wolves taking on Cincinnati to start week one. That's a team that's supposed to have playoff aspirations, for crying out loud. You don't want to do something like that. So I think there's still a lot to be said of the responsibility of what the season's going to be. Are you a team that's getting ready for next year? We'll find out. Because if you start off Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders are going to go, guys, I'd like to be pleasantly surprised, but I think this is a team that's getting ready for 2026 already. If you start out Joe Flacco, okay. Maybe it's the guise of playing over this season and we're trying to win. Maybe it's not real, but at least they're trying to win to do something for these veterans here on this football team to keep them still interested in the season. There's still a lot to play out.
Yeah, just the first thing, it seemed that this Kenny Pickett injury news just made their lives so much easier. It seems like they made their lives so unnecessarily difficult the way that they were going to enter into camp. And I know I've seen some people say, well, they're throwing darts. And I've been an advocate of, hey, you got to throw some darts every year, quarterback, until you get one. I never thought throw four darts at the same time and then do it blindfolded. Like, that never made sense to me.
All they did was put yours in high gear. That's all they did.
Yeah, they did take it to another level.
You shouldn't be very mad at the Browns at all, considering they've done everything you've wanted them to do here over the last 4 years. Put more darts out there, throw more darts at the wall, go out and get the quarterback that you want. I mean, there's a lot of things that should like here.
The simultaneous two competitions, one for the backup, one for the starter, You just don't see a lot of that in the NFL, if at all. I don't think I've ever seen it to this degree to go with four of them. And then by virtue of this injury, and I hate to say it, it finally got this back to some bit of normalcy. Like now this might be able to work its way out. Like Joe Flacco is going to be your starter week one. We have no idea if Joe Flacco is even good anymore. He didn't look great last year, but at least he can stem the tide of, all right, locker room knows who the starter is. You've got the gauntlet of the schedule to begin the season with the six games, and then they'll probably be bad. And at some point, you know, along the way of the season, it'll make sense to hand it over to, you know, one of these rookies. Then you'll see whether or not these rookies will be good enough to force you with two first round picks next year to stay out of the quarterback business in what looks to be a much more promising quarterback draft than what we just went through.
Well, let me just say this before we get to Andre in North Carolina here.
That's more coherent, at least.
You are right. I'm not going by the first six games. First six games are tough, man. I mean, you got the NFC North. There's three teams right there that are tough, and then you're going to have the Bears by the end of the season, and they're supposed to be tough as well, crying out loud. So you have a tough division in the NFC North coming at you, and you got three games right there in the first six against them, and then the other three are divisional games. These are tough games. I'm not just going to be beholden to the first six games because it's the NFL. They're all supposed to be tough. They're all supposed to be tough competition. They're professionals there. So, hey, if Joe goes out there and he sucks by the end of the Baltimore game and somebody looks like they're close, if Dylan Gabriel looks like he's close enough or Kenny's back and he looks like he's close enough to do it, fine. Go ahead and do it. Shador, same thing. If Shador looks like he's got it and things are rolling and things are clicking for him and you want to put him out there before Green Bay on September 21st, go right on ahead and do it because they're all supposed to be tough games. So, we used to do this all back in the day. You can't put this guy out there against James Harrison. Why? There's other great pass rushers out there that are trying to kill people. So you might as well put him out. If he's going to play, you can't have it one way or the other. There's still going to be tough games. There's no FCS opponent out there for you to get their feet wet before they actually go up against the big boys. They're all big boys. So I'm not just looking. The first six games are tough. There's no doubt about it. I don't know what the hell the Dolphins are going to be this year, but they don't look like they're going to be to the same level as those other six teams that you're playing. Fair. But I'm not just going to hold it to the first six. If Joe Flacco cannot conduct the offense, or Kenny can't conduct the offense, or God knows who, then yeah, go ahead and make the move. Andre, on the free Odyssey app in North Carolina, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Andre.
Morning, boys. How we doing?
We're doing well, Andre. Go ahead.
Yeah, so obviously I'm not happy about any injuries or anything, but I do think it brings some clarity. It does feel like, you know, Flacco's going to start, right? And to be frank, he's had his best seasons under this kind of offense, whether it's the six games he played here or, you know, under Kubiak, you know, that one year with the Ravens. But I think Lima might be missing the point with Shador. And I think the biggest thing that we're going to see here is just more reps and more valuable reps. It feels like they're kind of, I think they put a term, they're putting like the handcuffs on him, like kind of back, and they're kind of letting him sit on, you know, fourth string, not getting really quality reps, but this just brings more, you know, opportunities for him to go win the job. Because from what I've seen, I think Gabriel looks pretty small and jittery, and Shador actually looks like he's got a chance, so.
Andre,
I'll let you guys weigh in.
Well, you'll have more quality from Shador if Kenny can't practice for a prolonged period of time. And Andre, thank you very much for the call. I mean, it's a hamstring again. I'm in no hurry for him to get back and do it because I don't want him to be forced to be put in before he's ready to go physically. I think he'll probably be ready enough to go mentally. He's been in the league for a couple of years, but I don't want him to go out there and be pressed into it physically too much. So, yeah, Shador's going to get plenty of opportunities. I think Dylan Gabriel's going to get plenty of opportunities. I've not seen the jitteriness that what he brings out. But again, I've only been texting people. I was not there last week because I was off last week. So I'll be there this week to see more, to be brutally honest with everybody out there. 216-474-0092. I just think that as of right now, and again, we'll talk more about that. Well, and obviously, we'll get back to this coming up at 7 and 7:20. I think as of right now, it's Joe Flacco's job. And there's no as of right now. I think going into week one, it's Joe Flacco's job. And the other two, I think Kenny gets put on the shelf. It's a hamstring injury. We'll see. We'll know more today. Kenny gets put on some sort of a shelf. And then it's Dylan and Shador. They go nowhere. We're not talking about cutting anybody. They go nowhere. It's Dylan and Shador, and we'll see who comes out on top when it comes to being the backup. It'll probably, by everything that I'm reading and everything that I'm texting, it'll probably be Dylan Gabriel who ends up being the backup, which, you're going to go from 6'6 and a great big burly fella to 5'10, but a good head on his shoulders.
Does Lima like?
Or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? No like.
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
All right, Kenny, it was a pretty busy weekend, mostly driving for me. For you, look like you had a golf outing. Are you
all very poorly?
Are you all healed up?
Oh, yeah. Ah, man. Thank you for giving me the unpaid testimonial. My doctor, I didn't have any of the problems. I barely iced. I iced just because I thought I should because of the healing, but I barely did any of that. I was good to go. I wanted to do equipment handout on that Friday afternoon. Liz told me I was a bizarre individual. And then on Saturday, I felt good. I felt fine.
So both of us had similar, I would say, post-surgery, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Experiences.
Uh-huh.
Are we just tougher than all our listeners who told us this was a nightmare scenario?
No.
Do we have a bunch of weak callers?
No.
Just two tough guys on the radio in Cleveland.
You know what I think this proves?
Not just tough talking.
Right. I think this proves that we have some listeners that might need to look at themselves in the mirror.
Didn't we? Well, wait a minute. Well, now, we did do this. Now, I'm not going to subscribe to that, but we did do this once. We've definitely been, between the both of us, punched in the face.
Yeah.
More than, is there anybody that does MMA or anything like that on the radio here in Cleveland? Is there anybody? We've probably been punched
in
the face.
There's probably somebody on the radio in Cleveland.
Okay.
In their hobby time does some jujitsu or something.
We got some wrestling. Anybody wrestle? Owen, you
I wrestle with a lot of things every day.
Yeah. He wrestles his demons.
Yeah.
I think that the show's probably been punched in the face more than any other show combined. So it's not just tough talking. It's two tough guys. However, I just feel bad because I think the other guys that we talked to just got butchered.
Right.
I think they got hacked to bits.
What happened?
I don't know. By the way, nobody else was in the room.
Oh, come on.
Just me and Doc. And there was just a little bit of pressure when he first put the Novocaine in on both sides. And then it was just weird because you could hear the clips.
Yeah.
That was a little bit.
But I didn't smell any of the soldering.
Nah,
I know. I was told you would smell that. And so it seemed like you were just up and ready to roll.
It was so, and I did this thing because they do it on a Friday. So I went out there and Liz is waiting on me and there's a bunch of other guys out there. And I came limping out like, oh God. And Liz goes, oh my God. And I go, nah, I'm fine. Let's get out of here. I started laughing. I mean, he was perfect. It was so smooth. Dr. Contact was so smooth with it. I wonder if it even worked.
Oh, well, you're going to have to find out now.
I will definitely be going to the follow-up. Yep. I will definitely be following up with him and making sure that we're all done. Go ahead there, Tone.
All right, so some big news for the weekend. I was wondering if it was a bad weekend for baseball fans here in the region or good. I say good, even though the team, it was really ugly yesterday. But I'll say this.
I'm alive.
Congratulations to legendary play-by-play broadcaster Tom Hamilton going into Cooperstown. Very, very cool honor. And he had some fun things to say when giving his speech in Cooperstown as part of the big induction ceremony.
Okay, folks, here's another steer. Very big. Black and white. Yes, this one too has four legs. And by golly, it's got a tail that's working, and oh no, we're about to have a deposit.
That was Tom Hamilton speaking. So resourceful. He was so versatile as a broadcaster. What, 4-H?
Early years.
Yes.
As the 4-H guy at the Wisconsin, or the Jefferson County Fair in Wisconsin.
That's wonderful. I thought the coolest thing from the weekend is seeing so many of the big baseball national guys paying homage to Tom Hamilton and referencing some of his incredible calls. This is not one of those where it's like, oh, we believe we've got a really good broadcaster, but he doesn't really register on the national spotlight. Not true at all. And Tom Hamilton obviously getting his just desserts for that. I thought it was really cool, and it really solidifies great. How many legends we've had here in Northeast Ohio.
Well, he's not just a great broadcaster, he's a great guy. In getting to know his son, Brad, over at 8, and I felt great for Brad. I felt great for the entire family. And obviously, Tom Hamilton's such a great, great, great person. You always say it, and it seems like it's cliche, like nobody's more deserving. I'm glad he got what he's deserved of, which is his spot in the Hall of Fame. He's a wonderful guy and a wonderful representation of the city.
Meanwhile, another, former Clevelander that went into the Hall of Fame, CC Sabathia. I know we always wonder, what hat are they going to wear? Well, he didn't wear any hat. I think, though, you know, his family members were, by and large, were they wearing Yankee gear? You know, in the crowd when they would show them the video. But he did certainly go out of his way to mention the importance of starting out that career right here in Cleveland.
I always say I was born and raised in Vallejo, but Cleveland is where I grew up. It's where we got married. 3 out of our 4 children were born there. And my biggest regret in baseball is not winning a championship for the fans in Cleveland.
So CC Sabathia doing that, I thought that was nice. I did wonder, are there mixed emotions with CC?
I don't think with him. I think it's more of a baseball thing because, I was tooling around on the phone the other day, and there was, I don't know how I got brought up on it, a Yankee clip got into my, like a Yankee account got into my algorithm, and it was CC Sabathia throwing at somebody that was supposed to cost him $500,000. I think there was a start bonus or something like that, or an innings bonus. And he got thrown out of the game, and it allegedly was supposed to cost him $500,000, except the Yankees made up for it.
This was like his last year of his career, too.
Yes, yeah. And they had said, like, the time that CC Sabathia picked loyalty over money, and your first thought is, what, excuse me?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they traded him. They traded him to the Brewers. You wouldn't have been able to afford him anyway, and who am I? How much did he get paid from the Yankees? Am I supposed to tell him to turn that down? So, again, we get to the baseball problem of it. I think if they were able to offer the money, if there was a salary cap and they were like, hey, we're going to give you the max of a max contract, whatever that were to be, I think CC Sabathia would have definitely been a Cleveland Indian the rest of his career.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he did not pitch well for us in the postseason run that I think a lot of people remember because they thought that was our team. That was a team that was, 2007. Yeah. Absolutely should have won or had a chance to win the World Series. Yes, I do too.
God almighty.
Because we were, you know, the 90s were one thing. That's when we were first really getting into postseason play. 2007 rolled around, was like, let's go. Let's make up for what the 90s teams, how they fell short, and CC just didn't pitch well.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I know there should have been no doubt about it that we would have beat the Marlins in 97, but my God, there was no doubt about it. You would have beat the Rockies. All right. Go ahead. Move on.
Lima no lights.
So, unfortunately, we dropped 2 out of 3 against Kansas City. However,
Lima likes.
You're within 8 games of Detroit. Are you at all following this Tigers tailspin? They've had 2 separate 6-game losing streaks. They've lost 12 of 13 before winning yesterday. But they are very, very shaky. They are teetering. And the Guardians, until this series, had won 4 consecutive series.
I know you guys both spent the week off, you know, celebrating your lack of childbearingness right? But
yeah.
I said last week, I know that the number's smaller for the wild card, but you only got to chase one team in the division, really. And the Royals are still around, and you let them still be around after this weekend. But I've absolutely been paying attention to it. Able to knock off the amount of games that they did in 10 days. Makes it interesting, but you know, you can go ahead and poo-poo on
it. And I'm not poo-pooing on it. You're still 8 games out. I'm still more worried about the wild card, or more concerned about the wild card.
And you're back under 500. However, you know, is there any part of you thinking, Kenny, well, we're not special. There's nothing special about this year's Guardians team. However, could they sneak in, and can a baseball team?
Of course they can.
Take on a new identity down the stretch and into the postseason?
They're only 3.5 games out of the wild card, but they're 3.5 games out of the wild card, and they're under 500, so the trade deadline's coming up here. I know that somebody had put out that July 26th was actually a big day in Indian/Guardians history in terms of making trades. Well, that day came and went, and I know we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, but
Thursday at 6.
I figure that this is what you have. I don't think that they're going to trade away Stephen Kwan. I know that there's plenty of teams out there beating drums to try to get them to trade Stephen Kwan. I don't think they're going to trade him. I don't know about Emmanuel Clase. I don't think they're going to really trade anybody else. And I think they're going to use this is what this team is. And they're going to either play out the stretch or they're going to use this 28th ranked or maybe 30th ranked strength of schedule to their advantage and maybe find a way in, which would be a hell of a job by them. I'll give them that credit.
We have to also congratulate Jared Allen. Got married over the weekend.
Congratulations.
You know, it's been a busy offseason for Cleveland athletes. Deshaun Watson got married, and now Jared Allen getting married to...
For the city of marriages.
Jordan January is her name. They've been largely pretty private up until now, but you couldn't avoid the videos thanks to Isaac Okoro documenting at the wedding what special, special dance for Jared Allen and his groomsmen, including Dean Wade. Now, here's a taste of the music thanks to Isaac Okoro's Instagram. And what you'd be missing if
what
you're unable to see the video.
I can't see it.
Is a reenactment of High School Musical. And why I bring this to the attention is I had to ask Kenny.
Okay.
It seems like Dean Wade, the other groomsmen, I can't tell who else is there, they all had to rehearse a dance. Did you ever have to do this for a wedding?
No. Not a giant dance for... Now I'm watching the video. Not a giant dance for this, no.
And Dean Wade is involved. So Jared Allen does a spectacular job. I have to credit him. I don't know how many hours. Like you got so many other things in the lead up to a wedding. We didn't because we didn't have to do any kind of a dance in the Rocky River Courthouse.
I was
when we got married.
I was a groomsman several times, and the worst part about it was the introductions, and you had to do the stupid things that you come out and you're introduced to.
Did you do some of the? Heard it through the grapevine.
You name it. Down a river. I did it.
The lasso.
The lasso. The
fishing
we
rod.
Did this thing with the guns, the Charlie's Angels guns. What the fishing rod we did?
Is that a moonwalk.
Half those marriages ended in divorce already.
We did a potato sack race for
A couple of those guys were on their second wives already.
Yeah, I always thought you should have to do the same dance only like backwards as you're making your way into the divorce proceedings.
What was the one that was
the wheelbarrow?
They play the. It's Brown's. Well,
I never did the wheelbarrow.
No, play it backwards.
See, it makes sense. I told you, Clemson should have to walk back up the hill and get on the bus, and they go in reverse if they lose at home.
100%.
That's how that should go.
Hey, that's it for Lima Lights.
Outstanding as always.